Things may be in summer vacation mode in Lansing and through Michigan, but come fall, the new state budget kicks in, affecting every aspect of Michigan life. All this week, we'll dig into the new $53 billion budget. Today, money for K-12 education. There's nearly $14 billion. Who's getting what? MLive education reporter Brian Smith is with me. Brian, last week we talked about that MEEP curveball, the one keeping the old test instead of the new assessment test key to the Common Core. It's a huge challenge for all involved. Today, the meat of the matter. You've got Democratic critics accusing Governor Snyder of gutting public education, and then you have the governor saying, not so. This year's education budget is $1 billion more than it was in 2010, the year before he took office. What is your take on that?
Well, it's really sort of an interesting debate because it depends on how you do the math and what you include and what you don't. A lot of the debate has centered on whether or not you include increased retirement costs in that calculation, because there are some who say that you shouldn't include the extra money that schools are contributing toward the retirement costs for teachers now, and there are others who say that absolutely money that's in the budget that supports that should absolutely be counted in terms of education spending. And so there's been a lot of back and forth on whether or not there's been this $1 billion cut. At MLive, we've looked at it and sort of found that while there have been some cuts and there have been some additions, it's nowhere near that $1 billion number that seems to be getting thrown around a lot.
Got to be part of the problem is it's just so dense and so complicated, and it's hard to understand.
Absolutely. It's incredibly complex, and it takes a lot of effort just to sort of understand even the basics of what's been added and what's been taken out.
Per pupil funding is really causing a debate. Why so?
Well, it's been because the way that money has been contributed has caused some debates among people. Every district is getting a minimum extra $50, but then districts that were getting less money per pupil than other schools are getting some additional money to sort of catch up, and that's going to be up to 175 total in terms of equity payments. But a lot of that money is going to go to schools that have some lower costs. A lot of charter schools and online schools are going to be included in that group that get the additional funding. And so that's giving them even more money. Critics say that they don't need the extra money because they have lower costs overall. A lot of the charters, for example, don't provide transportation. Their teachers aren't paying into the state's teacher retirement system. And districts that could use that extra money, that these people say, are the ones that are struggling financially anyway, and the money that they're getting isn't even going to keep up with the cost of inflation.
When you look at the pie, traditional schools, charter schools, online schools, what does that pie look like?
Well, obviously your traditional schools are getting a large chunk of that money just because they have the most legacy costs in terms of not only health care and teacher retirement, but the fact that they've been around the longest, they have the largest districts in most cases. And so they suck up a lot of that money, and then the charters receive less, the virtual schools receive less. And while they're certainly doing a lot, if not more in some cases, with that reduced funding, there's been a lot of push from the charter school lobby to sort of make funding equal across all types of schools and make sure that the traditional schools and the charter schools and the virtual schools are all receiving that same sort of per pupil money.
What effect will this have, according to the critics? What are they afraid we're going to see?
Well, the people who are really concerned about the schools not getting more money, the traditional schools who aren't getting some of those that larger boost, they're concerned that basically the money they're getting isn't going to keep up with their increased costs. Obviously, as inflation continues, things become more expensive, and the additional money that they're getting doesn't make up for what it's going to cost them to keep operating for the next year. And so they're going to wind up, potentially being a few dollars behind per pupil where they were a few years ago. There are people who would like to see a lot more money put into actual per pupil education. And it's a debate between sort of where we want to spend the majority of this school aid budget. Obviously, there's money in the school aid budget devoted to things other than K-12 classroom instruction, but it's really a fight over how we want to spend this, large sum of money that we're setting aside for schools every year.
Well, what are they afraid it's going to be like for the students? What would be the impact that the critics fear for a kid sitting in a classroom?
Well, obviously, we have about 48 to 50, depending on where we are in the year, basically school districts that are running a deficit, and that includes charter schools as well. And so what they're dealing with is having to cut resources, cut classes, cut programs to make up that budget shortfall. And people who would like to see more money put into classroom education say that those cuts are happening because there's been money taken out. And if we don't put that money back in and sort of give these schools something closer to what they had even, you know, 5 years ago, that they're going to have to continue cutting things and we're going to have more districts that fall into deficit.
And who's in favor of the way that this per pupil funding formula is structured?
Well, it was sort of a compromise agreement between a lot of people. There had been discussions about various different ways that you could do it and the amount of money that was going to be added. The debate was really over how much additionally we can put in. Obviously, there were projections that it was going to be a larger surplus the state was going to have that could be put toward education. The revenue estimating conference ended up coming back and saying that there wasn't going to be quite that much money. The governor had called for adding $150 million overall, which would have worked out to between $83 and $111 per pupil. That number got trimmed back in both the House and the Senate in their different versions. And then the final version pushes it to $177 million, but the actual increase is different because of the way it's allocated. And so that's why you have that minimum $50, and then some districts get an additional equity payment on top of that.
We're looking at money for K through 12 in the new state budget with MLive education reporter Brian Smith. The issue of snow days worked its way into this budget. Brian, how so?
Well, there had been some debate over what we were going to do to make up snow days in the past, because you had districts that obviously with the winter we had this year couldn't make up all the days they had missed. And so the agreement was basically, as long as a district had scheduled more than 174 days for instruction, as long as they made up that number of the number of hours that they were supposed to have, they didn't have to make up those additional days. And it's my understanding that's still in the budget for next year. Again, it's, as you pointed out, it's a very complex document, and there's a lot of language to it. So you have to do a lot of digging sometimes to find those little tidbits.
I guess parents and kids want to know, does what is in the budget mean longer days or longer school years for districts or shorter?
Well, the number of school days has been increasing over the last few years. And so parents should be expecting that their kids are going to be going to school fairly longer. There was, you know, a push to include some money for transitioning schools to an alternative calendar as well, where those days would be spread throughout the year. That money actually was taken out of the school aid budget and put into the general fund budget for some reason. It's not entirely clear why, but parents should be expecting that their kids are going to be going to school longer as time goes on, just because the push seems to be, let's increase the length of the school year.
Now let's talk about the little ones, the budget. What does it have for the Great Start Readiness Program?
Well, the governor pushed last year for adding $65 million to the Great Start Program to expand the availability of preschool services for lower-income families. And this budget includes an additional $65 million on top of that. So that's a $130 million increase over the last 2 years. And the governor sort of has championed this, going back to his State of the State speech at the beginning of the year, as making Michigan a no-wait state for preschool. Basically, if there's a student who qualifies for Great Start who wants to go to preschool, there will be a seat available for them. And this money creates enough half-day seats, so it wouldn't be a full day. It would be, you know, 4 hours. But they believe, based on the calculations, that there should be enough space based on this level of funding for every child who would be eligible to actually attend.
Well, they wanted to knock down that waiting list for the pre-K education, and fingers crossed that it could happen.
It certainly seems like they have done the math to figure out how to do that.
Brian Smith, education reporter for MLive. Brian, thanks so much.
Thank you.